Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the last chapter in Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Chaf Hei, the 25th chapter. This has been quite a marathon. We've moved all the way through Sefer Melachim Aleph and Beis. This is a huge achievement. At the same time, it's a very bitter achievement because it's a very difficult Perek to read. Nonetheless, it's worth treating oneself for this. This is worthy of Siyum for the amount of time we've spent on this. We'll try to appreciate some of the perspectives that we're going to be given of this very bitter end. The topic of this perek, of Perek Chaf Hei, is the full exile of Israel, and this is how Melachim actually closes. To that note, we're going to see that most of the fast days that we commemorate are to be found, the events for which we fast are to be found in this perek. So let's begin. The first section of the perek, between Psukim Aleph and Zayin, describes the siege. So Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Babel, brings his entire war host from Babylon and camps around Jerusalem, sets up his siege towers, and this starts on the 10th of the 10th month, which of course is Asara B'Teves. That's why we fast. One of the reasons we fast on Asara B'Teves is to commemorate the beginning of the end, which was now. And this really lasts for a while. It starts the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu and ends in the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu. So we're talking about an over 2-year siege. And it is on the 9th of the month. We are not told which month, but we know that this is actually the month of Tammuz. And the month of Tammuz is when the famine, just because of this, the lack of food, finally reaches a point which is no longer bearable. The city is breached, at this point in time, the king actually makes a escape effort. He runs through the Arava, which is again the desert side of Jerusalem, but he's caught up by the Chel Kastim, the Chaldonians, who are in the employ of the Babylonians, they're mercenaries, and they capture him and all his family, then bring him back to Babel, bring him to the king of Babel in an area called Rivla. And Vayedabru Itoy Mishpat, they talked to him about justice, and they tragically murder all Tzidkiyahu's children in front of him, and they gouge out his eyes. They blind Tzidkiyahu. On the Mefarshim, I explain over here, the Ralbag explains, the Mefarshim all explain, is that he had a contract. He said he was going to be loyal to Babel. The fact that he's not loyal to Babel is a moral mark against him, and they're bringing him to court, and they're saying the reason why they are actually doing this to him as a punishment for his deception and as a punishment for the fact that he did not uphold his end of the deal, which, by the way, Tzidkiyahu was advised to do by Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Nonetheless, this is what happens. He's taken as a captive to Babel, a blinded man, no longer with family, and you can imagine. You can imagine what's going on over here. However, it takes 3 weeks, which is why we have 3 weeks. At this point in time, Nebuzaradan, who's called the Rav HaTabachim, he's the head slaughterer, obviously very high up in the general in the army of Babylon, is now brought to the city, and he essentially burns Vayisrof es Beis Hashem ves Beis HaMelech. He burns down the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMelech and the king's palace. Everything in Jerusalem he burns, the walls he destroys, he dismantles with his armies, and it talks about the numerous people that he killed and exiled. And what he does is he takes the remaining people and he turns them into Kormim and Yogvim, which are really essentially people of the field, people who are going to now look after the vineyards, and people are going to till the fields for him. So he's reduced everybody to his servants. This is a complete destruction. At this point, it's just worthwhile asking, why exactly is it that Nebuzaradan only enters at the end of this period? Where was he at the beginning? Why was Nebuchadnezzar there to start and Nebuzaradan at the end? So some of them, for example, on a level of pshat, is that Nebuchadnezzar started off the process, but the siege took longer than he expected, so he kind of retired to Rivla, and he sent in Nebuzaradan to finish up the job. Other Mefarshim say, more quoting the Chazal, say, well, on a more creative way level, is that Nebuzaradan was so fierce and was so powerful that he represented Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, he had an image of Nebuchadnezzar, the king's face, on his chariot, so that it was almost as if Nebuchadnezzar was there, even though it really was Nebuzaradan the entire time. Birzameh, there are two particularly terrible individuals. We'll learn more about them as we go through the other books. When we go through Yirmiyahu, Dereyamim, and Daniel, and we'll spend a little more time thinking about Nebuchadnezzar and what his real name actually is. What is his real name? It's not Nebuchadnezzar. So this is what happens at this point in time. And it goes on to describe how he loots the base of Mikdash, how he takes down the pillars. He takes down the Yachin and Boaz. Remember those two beautiful pillars that Shlomo HaMelech had of 18 amos each. He takes down all the kelim, the siros and the ya'im and the zamros and the kapos, all the different pieces of that were used in the base of Mikdash for Kedusha, the gold, the silver, everything was taken. He broke down the copper and melted it down and brought it to Babel. All the stands for all the wash basins, everything is taken. This is a complete looting of the base of Mikdash. Everything we spend so much time talking about, how Shlomo set up so methodically and beautifully and kabbalistically, all destroyed at this point in time. Then he takes the head kohanim, Saraya, who is the head kohen, Tzefanya, the kohen mishneh, and the Shomrei Hasaf, the guarders of the gate. He took them out to Rivla and he kills them all there. Obviously, the representative of God, the people who are always the people representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he murders. Vayachosam Melech Bavel by Misem Rivla. At this point in time, there is an appointment of, in the absence of the kingship or the line of Tzidkiyahu, so the king of Bavel says, well, you know what, I'm going to establish another king, and his name is going to be Gedaliah ben Achikam. So that name should ring a bell, because we have a fast day about him. Why do we have a fast day? So, he is the son of Achikam, he's the son of Shaphan, and everybody comes to pay homage to him, but not everybody likes Gedaliah. In fact, there are a few people that the Tanakh tells us, their names are Yishmael ben Asanya, Yochanan ben Koreach, and Soraya ben Tanuchumes Hanatofsi, and Yazniyahu ben Amachosi. They weren't so enthralled with this whole idea. And what happens is that in the seventh month, which is, of course, Tishrei, straight after Rosh Hashanah, Yishmael takes to bands together 10 men and kills Gedaliah. The Mefarshim point out that that in fact Gedaliah had pre-warning of suspicious activity, but he didn't want to suspect anybody, he didn't want to judge anybody, and he let that warning fall on deaf ears, and he was murdered. At this point in time, Vayakumu kol ami koton vagadol v'sori hachayalim vayavol Mitzrayim. There was a terrifying exodus at this point in time to Egypt. All the remaining people left, Ki yoru mipnei akastim, because they realized this was the appointee of the kastim, and this would create terrible trouble, so they left. And this, in fact, in a certain sense, was the final part of Golos, was self-inflicted because of our own difficulties, because of our own actions at this point in time, directly. In fact, if you read carefully, if with a sensitive ear, when you read this text, you'll see in Pasuk Chof Hei, it says that Yishmael ben Asanya ben Elishama Mizera HaMelucha was the one who killed Gedaliah. He was from the seed of kingship, which means to say, it's also giving us a motive. He felt that Gedaliah was an outsider to the kingship. Who really deserved the throne? It was himself. And that's the saddest part about it over here. Here you have a broken kingdom. Here you have the remains of remains. The Beis HaMikdash is burnt down. Everything's been looted. And there's still somebody who's trying to power grab and not interested in the best interest, the common interest of Israel. Finally, the perek closes with the following, and it tells us that Tzidkiyahu was spent a long time in Bavel, it's actually counting to the years of Yehoyachin still. Yehoyachin or Yochanya is in his 37th year. What happens is that there's a new king who comes into power in Bavel. His name is Evil Moradach. You know, Evil is not actually the phonetic transposition of evil, but nonetheless, interesting name. Evil Moradach takes over from Nebuchadnezzar, and he decides that he's going to elevate Yehoyachin, Yechonia, the previous king of Israel, who's in captivity, and he gives him more leeway and more respect than anybody, the other captive kings in Bavel, and he would eat with the kings, Devar Yom Yomei Kol Yomei Chayav. And that's how Menachem ends, on a very, very sad and terrible note. So let's appreciate this. Just you know, it's very hard to read this, and we're going to spend a little time. We don't have so much time in this just brief moment on our daily learning together to really appreciate this in full perspective, but I want to just share two Ma'amrei Chazal, which give us a little bit of perspective on what we just read. Number one is the Gomorrah in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gomorrah in Sanhedrin actually says, shifts the perspective and the paradigm of how we're looking at this. The Gomorrah says the following, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahachzir Es HaOlam Kulo Letov Vavol Bishvil Yehoyakim. At the time that Yehoyakim, the third last king of Israel, arose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the world is clearly displayed through their own free will that they are not capable of doing the right thing. It has gone so low. They are so depraved. that it is worth undoing creation at this point in time. However, Nistaka Bodora, Veniskaradaita, when they looked, he looked at the at this their generation, he changed his mind. At the time of Tzidkiyah, Hashem wanted to destroy the entire world, not just Israel. And he looked at Tzidkiyah Melech and he said, you know what? I can't destroy the whole world. Now, if you think about that, what that means to say is that Tzidkiyah over here was an agent of protection to the world. Yes, it is true the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Yes, it is true that Israel was exiled, but humanity was not wiped out. That means to say that at this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw favor because we were so bad. The world was so bad that it was worthy of destruction. And Tzidkiyah HaMelech was the person on the railway tracks to stop the train. That sort of shifts the perspective. At the same time, it's also depressing because it shows you how bad and evil humanity was. There's another midrash which appears in the Tanchuma in Parshas Bo and also in Shmos Rabba Perek Tezvov Chof Vov, which says the following. When we're told the first communal mitzvah that Israel gets as a command is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, this month will be to you as the head of the month. So the midrash says, we are like the moon. Well, of course, Israel is often likened to the moon, but in what respect? So the midrash says an unbelievable thing. It says that the month of the moon is obviously 29 and a half days. It's essentially a 30-day cycle in round numbers. And that means that there's 15 days which it grows. You see the disk of the moon growing. It reaches full moon. And then at that point in time, at its apex, it starts diminishing till it is no longer visible. Says the Midrash, there are 15 generations from Avram Avinu to Shlomo HaMelech. That's the ascent of Klal Yisrael. Let's go through them quickly. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzron, Ram, Aminadov, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David, and Shlomo. Shlomo is the apex. Shlomo is where Avram Avinu is being led to. It's the nation, it's the kingship, it is the Hashem's dominion, it is Beis HaMikdash. This is full moon. This is when Israel is at their apex. However, then there's another 15 generations till they disappear once again. And they are Rechavam Aviyah, Asa Yehoshaphat, Yehoram, Achaziah, Yoash, Amatziah, Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiah, Menashe, Amon, Yoshio, Yehoyakim. At that point in time, we've disappeared. The Midrash concludes, at the time, Kemen Shabbat Tzidkiyahu, it says, Es Einei Tzidkiyahu Iver Choser Oresh Olavona. Why was he blinded? Because the light has gone. The light has gone. But if you think about this Midrash carefully, as much as it's a terrifying and terrible description, it is still the description of a month end which starts a new cycle. What Melachim is essentially ending on is, the moon has gone, the month has ended, but the new month is beginning. And from here on, we have an upward trend, Be'ezras Hashem. In the meantime, Mazel Tov on the completion, and looking forward to continuing with Yeshaya tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.